Okay, as a sidelight, let's open our Bibles after the singing. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And let's go to the very last verse in the book, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. I'll come back to that. Father, we are so grateful for the music that You've given to us over the centuries, handed down to us by people that many of them going through very difficult times, many of them understanding the Scriptures, and singing with and writing with joy in their hearts, and we get the fruit of their labor and enjoy it. And so we're grateful for that, grateful for the reading of Your Word, grateful for our salvation in Christ, and we just pray that You would speak to our hearts this evening. And if anything. At any time there's a need for You to speak to us, it's now. Every day, sometimes twice a day, three times a day, we see embarrassing things from the leadership of our country. Embarrassing, immoral, violent, wicked, and very little wisdom. And we of all people need to be people that understand what's going on, it's not unexpected, and what to do with it while we await for Your soon return. So again, have Your way in what we give out, what is received, and we pray that it will be profitable for all of us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a sidelight to this morning. We were in 1 Corinthians, and I brought up the subject of the synagogues and what was going on in Jewish synagogues when people would pray. And the Jews would pray, the Jews that were praying, the other Jews in the synagogue would respond with amen. And so, I think I had skipped over this, but somebody wrote that if you responded with a short amen, you would live a shorter life. And if you responded with a long amen, you would live a longer life. So when you come to these amens, you have your choice. Amen? Or amen? And it's kind of how these traditions get passed down. And suddenly, somewhere along the line, I don't know if I've ever been in a synagogue. I haven't. I've been in messianic people, but I never heard anything like that. So maybe it faded away. But we can say long amens as opposed to short ones. So we turn with me to John chapter 3. We'll come back eventually. We who have received Christ by faith as our Savior from sin, according to John 3:5, and then also verse 7, verily, verily, Jesus answered and said unto him, verse 3, I'm sorry, 3, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then in verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, he must be born again. And so we go down to verse 16, and we see how that happens by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. So then we who therefore are born again are born twice, physically once, spiritually once. And we may or may not die. You know that. I mean, if the Lord doesn't return, ultimately everyone here will go to the grave. But if He does return, none of us who are saved are going to go to the grave. And that's a wonderful thing to know. So, while all of those who are born once, and go down here to verse 36, John chapter 3, verse 36, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's present tense. It just hasn't been executed. So those who are born only once will die twice. So for 24 years of my life, I lived with a death sentence over my head. And it hadn't yet to been executed, obviously. And I kind of illustrate it by a frayed thread going across eternity. And there I was hanging on by this frayed thread over hell. And never knew it. Had no idea. So after our spiritual birth, then we know, of course, in our natural birth, there was a process of growth. In all likelihood, in every one of us, there has been a process of growth after we were born physically. And likewise, after our spiritual birth, there is supposed to be a process of growth. Now, I say supposed because a number of factors enter into this. There is a war between the natural man, and that Mike was speaking about this morning, and you, the spiritual man. And after the Holy Spirit indwells you, and this war will never end until you are home to be with the Lord. You're tired of this warfare? A lot of people, as they age, get really tired of this warfare. You cannot give up. You need to stay the course. And you have to know that it will be worth it if you just continue to fight that fight and have a control over the old nature. So Romans chapter 7. We're going to get to the message here in a moment, but this is all important. Romans chapter 7. The Apostle Paul is saying something in chapter 7 that occurred some 30 years after he was saved and spoke to this struggle. In verse 17, Romans 7, verse 17. Now, this probably doesn't apply to any of you, but I'll just say it. I can identify with this. 17, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I don't know if, let's go with 15, it's better to understand. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Anybody on board there? If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Paul would have failed the self-esteem class. So would I. And so should you. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. All right. You know what this speaks to? It speaks about knowing yourself. As a believer, you are a two-parted person. And whichever one you yield to, that's the one that's going to be manifested. And even though in your spirit, you know, I should not be doing this. I don't want to do this. You'll do it. And I think, therefore, it's vital that you grow spiritually to ever be able to conquer the flesh. So I want to take a look how we are to grow in the Christian life. The verse in Peter said to grow in grace. So I don't think anybody doesn't know the definitions of these things. Go with me to Ephesians 3. But grace is getting what you do not deserve. From time to time, I've done things for people and had them say, "Why'd you do that?" I said, "Because I wanted to. Well, I didn't deserve that." They said, "I know. But there's a lot of things we don't deserve." And that's what grace is. Mercy's tied together with this, of course, and that's not getting what we do deserve. So these two things are very important in our lives. Now, grace is found in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Some people say, "Oh no, the Old Testament was all law." Well, remember in Genesis chapter 6, when the world was ready to be absorbed by the flood, in Genesis 6, I think it's verse 7, Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. Grace in the Old Testament. And of course, in the New Testament as well. Now, grace is also connected with, and we're going to just be in one part here, with service, with Christian growth, and with giving. Grace is involved in all of those. So in Ephesians 3, here's point number one. As believers, we should grow downwardly. You say, that's a bummer. No, it's true. Look at Ephesians 3 here, and we'll start here in verse 14. I think the prayer starts in verse 13, but we will, what did I say, Ephesians 4 or 3? 3, okay. Good, verse 14. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all fullness of God." In verse 17, I wanted you to notice about rooted and grounded in love. Here, and only here, is where your roots should go down. And they should go down deep, spiritually. If you have roots down deep in this earth, you are going to be sorely displeased and probably miserable. This is not home. Home is when we get there, and you want to have this straight in your mind. Go back to the Matthew 13. This is the parable of the sower, and he speaks in one of these cases of the people that he mentions here in verse 20. Matthew 13, verse 20. "But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, and by and by he is offended." So your roots have to be spiritual. And if there's no spiritual roots, you've got a problem. But in these spiritual roots, we can't go farther until we go deeper. The deeper the root, the more grounded we are. There has to be some form of depth to our lives, which is manifested, of course, by spiritual growth. I'm not speaking about the deeper life people and things like that, which some have turned away from the simplicity of God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby, if he has tasted that the Lord is gracious." So who among us who profess to be saved have not tasted and received salvation by God's grace when we put our faith in Christ as our Savior? Who of us deserved to be saved? None of us. But by God's grace, giving us something we didn't deserve, by our faith in Christ, we understand how this works. Now, notice something and a long time ago, I missed this. It says the sincere milk of the Word. Not just the milk of the Word, but the sincere milk of the Word. That means without deceit, unadulterated, pure. It indicates that there has to be people that give out the milk of the Word, but not measure up to God's standards. Say, "Well, you're picking?" No, not at all. In other words, there's an agenda in the background or foreground that wants you to believe them as equal or above God's word. I think it's a cultic mindset. It's not easy to see at first. But the sincere milk of the word is, we're going to give you what the word says. I'm not going to slant that in my direction, if I have a direction, unless my direction's God's. So the agenda is the word. But once we get outside of that package, then we begin to insert, oh, the sincere milk of the word also means, and you go elsewhere, but it doesn't mean that. It means, here's the word. You've been given the word here. It's been preserved for you. You can count on it. And you should be submissive to its authority, because it is right. And you will grow if you'll take that and then move on. I want you to look at Bildad's evaluation of Job back in Job chapter 8. Job chapter 8. Again, all of this has to do with being grounded and rooted and grounded in love. Job chapter 8. And we'll begin here once I find it, verse 6. Job chapter 8, verse 6. If thou wert pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. For inquire, I pray thee, of the former age, and prepare thyself to the search of their fathers. For we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon earth are a shadow. Shall not they teach thee and tell thee and utter words out of their heart? Can the rush grow up without mire? Can the flag grow without water? Whilst it is last yet in its greenness and not cut down, it withereth before any other herb. So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hopes shall perish. So what he was doing basically is criticizing Job as being a hypocrite. But I'm not interested in that, because he talks in verse 11 of these are bulrushes and marshy grasses. And what are they dependent on? They're dependent on water and mire to grow, right? And their roots are deeply hidden from sight. Now, even in our pond, there are plants that rise up from the water, and you'll find as you can cut them off at the top, but they still come back because their roots, they're like stringy roots. They're just going everywhere down in the muck and whatever else it is, but it's you have to really pull those out. They don't come out easy. And this is what I'm talking about as far as rooted downward. And this is where it is, the book. And we get these roots down here and we get them solidly, and they don't change. I'm going to mention my Bible college here in a little bit, but one thing I noticed long afterwards is they changed. I always found that strange, because when I went to Bible college, I knew nothing. And I thought, when you give out something, that's it. It is so. And then, years later, they started getting away from that and moving somewhere else. And I'm thinking, I wonder if they really believed what they taught. Because God's word is forever. And if you're teaching a doctrine and it's right, then why would you change it? All right? So, as believers, we are to grow, first of all, downward, right? Secondly, and this is quite understandable, we should grow upward. Psalm 92, verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. So what are we looking at? We're looking about we are forced in one degree or another to walk on this earth. But our eyes are to be upward on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It's very important. Elon Musk wants to go live on Mars. Let him go live on Mars. But he's not going to like it. You live in a spacesuit in a closed container. I think I'll go outside and do the garden today. I think I'll sit and just enjoy the sun. You can't go outside unless you're fully enclosed in a stupid spacesuit. That's not living. It's not at all. This is an important lesson. Turn with me to Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12. It's an important lesson that we should learn early on in the Christian life, because you will need it frequently as you grow. There are going to be things that are going to throw it your way and have been thrown my way, and you've got to keep your eyes on the Lord. You have got to. Wherefore, verse 1, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And if he can do that for us, surely we can keep our eyes on him and learn from him. So trees grow by reaching upward toward the sun. An interesting thing to do is, well, you have to do this over time, obviously, is to watch trees that are crowded in a semi-woods area or a wooded area and begin to bend ever so slightly to get away from the shadow of the other trees and find out where the sun is. And you'll see trees doing really, making weird shapes to try to get that sunlight. The oaks by our garage, they started, if you get down to the base of the trunk, all of them started the same. And over time, because the sun came that way, they began to bend that way. And all, there are four of them, and all four of them went up and kept bending just to find the light, to find the sun. Every tree we have, all the plants on the property, gravitate toward the sun. We've taken seedlings and watched them grow in a pot, and then they'll grow in a certain way, and then we would plant them facing the opposite way, away from the sun. And wouldn't you know, the Lord turns them right back to the sun. They search for the sun. We need to be careful to grow toward the Son of Righteousness. Two years after I was saved, I went to Bible college. There were some really good things that I learned there. I had already been to college, so I could have gone 2 years and graduated, and wanted to go four because I wanted to learn. I basically knew nothing. And there were also some things that were not so good. So then we went out on our own, believing that everything they told us was right. And so we parroted basically the things that they taught. There were some things that were not so, but we didn't know that in the beginning. And what did the Lord do? Because my heart was right is to wanting to know to do the right thing, the Lord began to turn me toward himself. And in turning me toward himself, I began to see the very things I couldn't see before. And in seeing them, then I began to understand how important it is to keep our eyes on the Lord, to keep looking upward on him, because and not go in that direction. Some people decide, well, you know, man's opinion is very important. We're going to go man's way. And you know where they've gone to? They've continued to go on farther and farther away from the light of God's Word. I think part of that is why we see so much bad things happening in churches with people. They're so dependent on a person instead of the person of Christ and the Word of God. And when the man goes bad, they go bad, because they're just totally dependent on that. So very important that we look downward, yes, rooted upward toward the Lord Jesus Christ. They are crucial to growth. All right, here's number three. And let's turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. As believers, we should grow inwardly. Now that's self-explanatory. Inwardly. So in Ephesians chapter 4, before we get to the place where the Lord led captivity captive and he gave gifts to men and apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers, we find this in verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I don't know if I need more grace than you do, but the Lord knows. And if I need more grace, the Lord is there to give me more grace. I often likened it to a little, drill a little hole in the top of your head, and the Lord sees you need more grace in situations, he pours out more grace. He pours more things, getting things that you don't deserve. We don't understand a lot of things. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So, if we're what we think on, then turn the next book over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And again, this all has to do with growth. Verse 8, finally, brethren. And Paul does a lot of finally. He's like a preacher. Okay, this is my last point. Until I get to the next one. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You want to grow? You think on these things. We take in too much garbage. Computers work off of that. That was the terminology years ago. Garbage in, garbage out. What you take in comes out. And if we're going to take in the bad, eventually it's going to affect us and the bad will come out. We need to think on these things. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I've got a lot here. Keep us busy so nobody falls asleep. I better hear the rustling of everybody's pages. Matthew chapter 5. And look at here in the Beatitudes. And let's look down here in verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, the Beatitudes are also tied into, in this particular case, is tied into Hebrews chapter 12, I think in verse 14. Without holiness, no man shall see God. We're to be a holy people. Positionally, we are holy. Practically, we're not. Practically, we can never achieve perfect holiness in this life. But surely we can be more holy tomorrow than we were today. And today is a good step in the right direction because we're focused on the Lord. It's a lot harder when we get out and we're doing other things to not focus on being holy, separated in the practical sense. In Christ, I'm complete. In Colossians, I think it's Colossians 2:9. I'm complete in Christ. But practically, no. These are works in progress. Okay, Romans chapter 10, if you need to turn there. Romans chapter 10 in verse 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now we're talking about inward growth here. There is no such thing as faith or trust without unanswered questions. We often say when you're in dilemmas, just trust the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You don't have to know everything, but just trust Him. But there's questions, unanswered questions. God told Noah to build the ark. He built a massive piece of wood together, waterproofed it, and really didn't have the understanding what was going to happen. other than judgment. But look what he did. He took God at his word. Don't you think there were questions? Don't you think people asked him, what are you doing? Well, I'm just following God's directions. I'm just obeying God. Abraham, or Abram before he became Abraham, get out of the land where you live and go to a place that I'll tell you. He didn't even tell him where he wanted him to go. Just get out of the land and go in this direction. Today, oh no, I got to know where I'm going. I got to know everything. No, you don't. If you're going to trust the Lord and the Lord says something and he wants you to do this, then trust him. You'll have questions, but he'll answer them in his time. And sometimes I hate that because I want it to be my time. And that's a natural thing. So we all have questions. In his time, they will be answered. So make the Lord Jesus Christ the center of everything about yourself. And you don't need to have all the answers. They'll come. We should grow inwardly. It sure sounds like a train. If it's a train, it's off the tracks. I think we better run. Okay. Fourthly, so we grow downward, we grow upward, we grow inward. So what's the last thing? We grow outward. Outwardly, number four. Outwardly. And by the way, before I get to that, go with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. This has to do with inwardly. And this is important because it encompasses grace not only in salvation, but in the Christian life as well. And this is really a pivotal passage of Scripture. Titus chapter 2, look here in verse 11. For the grace of God that it bringeth salvation has appeared to the elect. I'm sorry, to the selected. No, to all men. Now, watch what grace also does. Teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So what grace, getting what we didn't deserve in salvation, and then it also teaches us these very same things. Grace teaches us these things. And this is important toward growth. If you're going to go to verse 11 and then stop and say, okay, now we're on our own, you're going to fail miserably. You're not going to grow. It's not going to happen. Okay, outwardly, growing outwardly. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And let's look here in verse 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. And a very familiar verse. Let your light so shine before men. Let your light, which comes from within, so shine before men outwardly, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's talking to saved people. It has nothing to do with being saved. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll throw all these together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And look at verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. So where is the gospel to we who are saved? It's inwardly. What do we do with it? We speak. Not as pleasing men, not to be seen of men, not to get the praise of man, but God, which tries our hearts. So we got two things here. We're to let our light so shine before men. We've been entrusted with the message in the gospel. Mark 16:15 talks about, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we've got three things right in a row there that are very important. Okay, let's throw this in the mix. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And let's look down here in verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. So we're to bear fruit. Fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. He that winneth souls is wise. So winning souls bears fruit. But it also talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 21, 22. Or I think it's farther down. It's important. You cannot produce in the flesh any one of those nine characteristics of the fruit. You just can't. the best you can do is with love. It's a human love. That's it. But if with the aid of the Holy Spirit filling you and directing you, you can display divine love because it comes from Him. But I can't produce that, and you can't produce that. Fruit of the Spirit. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 10, Ephesians chapter 2, and verse 10, 8 and 9 we are ecstatically familiar with, and they're great verses. I mean, it's so clear that salvation is by grace through faith, and not of works. But then we come to this, verse 10, for we are saved people, His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Who are the only people that can do good works that God recognizes? Saved people. Your good works as a lost person were meaningless because they really weren't good at all. There's no righteousness attached to them because you had no righteousness. Your righteousness is what's filthy rags. Right? Galatians chapter 6. And I hope I haven't ever got you to this point. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. And then verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. This is all involved with growth, and this has to do with outwardly. Now, it has been said, I don't know where this saying came from, but it's very relevant. And I'm quoting, your love has a broken wing if it cannot fly across the ocean, unquote. What do you think that has to do with? Missions. There are churches that have no missionaries. Do you believe that? Roger was, McAllister, was a fellow that had gone to a church in Ohio. They had no missionaries whatsoever. They weren't interested in any missions. And that's a shame, because we couldn't go where the missionaries went. As you can tell, this is an older saying, because now you fly. It's easy. But we need to be involved in missions. We need to be involved in them and what they're doing. I'm glad that we're increasing the amounts that we're giving them. And we need to pray for them daily, because if they start to slack off, if they don't grow, it'll affect their work, which will affect our giving and our work. We want this all to work together. Our Father in heaven has provided an inexhaustible supply of grace to grow thereby. He didn't heap it all on me and there's not enough for you. Or He didn't heap it all on you and there's not enough for me. Take Him at His word. Take Him at His word. Everywhere you see it, take Him at His word and grow up into Him. Of all the times that this is important, how often have we seen people who, whether they're saved or not, are not rooted in Christ? There are no roots. It's a surface. And if anything were to happen and the wind were to blow too hard, they get blown over and wind up going somewhere else. And again, understand positionally, we are complete in Him, but practically, there's a lot of growth to go. I don't know that in my lifetime I'll ever grow to the place that I would feel I finally arrived, because there's always something more to grow in and of. God's grace can meet every single situation of growth that you meet, and most situations you meet are opportunities for growth. Many of them we just bypass because we think they're not relevant, but they are. When you get up in the morning, you get up at a certain time. Why? You have a responsibility. In all likelihood, it's not like there's nothing to do. Maybe you don't have to get up early, but you get up. And what do you do? Do you seek out what God has to say to you, or do you just both feet hit the bed and you take off running? And you run all day long, and you come home, and you're exhausted, and you can't do anything, you're reading, and you go to sleep. So where was God yesterday and the day before? You start with God, you keep with God, and you go to bed with God in His Word. And He'll continue to teach you and teach you and teach you. He doesn't stop. He's a good teacher. He's better than any of us. And he knows exactly where you need to be taught. Sometimes you think you just coincidentally came across a passage of Scripture, and it wasn't coincidental at all. You needed that. You need to recognize that you needed it, and then work on it. So let's pray. Father, we come before you as your children through faith in Christ. We profess to be saved. I pray that we are sufficiently rooted in you, in spiritual things, as opposed to this earth. I pray, Father, that our eyes are upward. We want to grow. We want to grow tall in faith. I pray that we can grow inwardly. Part of being rooted has to do with inward. And inward means we have to take in the things we hear, the things we see. And we have to trust you and take these things by faith. And yes, there'll be questions. There always have been. There always will be until we get home to be with you. And then we need to grow outwardly. If any of us are here tonight and say, you haven't talked about anything that applies to me, you're in serious trouble. We are in serious trouble. We need to be the people that you designed us to be in the Christian life. Conform to the image of Christ. He met every one of those. Father, I didn't bring out the Messiah in Isaiah 53:2. He was a tender plant and rooted. And we know how deep those roots went. I just pray that you'll speak to our hearts and that we will take away from here something that will encourage us and challenge us in a day of almost absolute apostasy. It matters not to me that somebody ridicules me for my position on your word. It would be worse if you were not pleased with our positions on your word. And so we need to be very careful where we walk and where we step. Because we have a long way to go. And we don't have much time to do it. So let's take our day and see what we can do for you. See what we can do to grow closer to you. A great spiritual, just a closer walk with thee. We need a close walk with you. So I pray, Father, you just speak to our hearts in the invitation, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.